Well, we're taking another look at resurrection, not because we've forgotten it, of course, because we haven't, but because our lectionary texts have taken us there in our gospel lesson in Luke. And at least one of the people I was looking at said, you have to be careful about this, because if you try and recreate the excitement of Easter Sunday on the third Sunday of Easter, it won't work, so don't try. And I thought, well, good advice. I don't think I was going to try that. But as I was thinking about it, I was wondering, why could it be there? And what it did is it pulled together a number of things that I've been encountering lately and a number of things I've been thinking about, some of which we've talked about here, some of which I've talked to you about just after the service and that sort of thing. But why did Jesus come back in a body? Because he didn't have to. And there's some odd things going on where Jesus seems to not be quite as constrained by doors and things in some of the other encounters or accounts we read. And so I've been thinking off and on for the last little while, why come back in a body? And because I don't believe that the incarnation, the resurrection, and all that happened were just sort of random, almost chaotic events, I think what happened is all about sending significant messages to us, or telling us things and teaching us things, not just through the words that Jesus said, but how he acted, how he treated other people, and how people reacted to him. And if that's true, and I think it is, then I think Christ's coming back in a physical body is extremely important. And it's something that we've overlooked. And by we, I mean sort of the larger picture of church history. I'm not talking about us as individuals necessarily. Richard Rohr, a little while ago I was reading, he said that when he left his church history prof for the last time, who he'd been studying under for 4 years, the last words his church history prof said to him, he said, remember that really when it comes right down to it, the church is more Platonist than Christian, which is sort of an odd way to think about it, until you realize that what he's getting at is sort of taking a riff on Plato, who was the one who talked about the perfect form that doesn't really exist on earth, but everything here is a shadow of the perfect lamp exists somewhere, and this is a shadow, so it's not the real thing, it's not as good. And that's where we get a lot of those ideas about how our human existence is something we simply suffer through until we're done, and then we go on to something better. Except Jesus came back in a body just like ours, a body that was so obviously a body that he could eat in it. And we shouldn't beat ourselves up, or church history for that matter, about this sort of confusion between bodies and perfection and all those other sorts of things, because even Jesus' followers did it. As we see in Luke, he came back and they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost, because people don't come back. That makes sense. When you see things that you don't understand, you try to fit them into categories that they fit. And the first category that fit this experience was a ghost, even if they hadn't seen one. At least they'd heard of them. They hadn't heard. Most of us who don't grow up in the church have heard more ghost stories than resurrection stories, so it makes sense that you'd put it in that category. And Jesus said, no, I am not a ghost. Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And so he shows them the hands. He lets them touch them so the hands don't go through, like in those bad 50s ghost movies. And just in case, he says, in case they're still wondering, he says, do you have anything to eat? And he eats with them. Well, ghosts don't eat either. And this tells us all kinds of things that are easy for us to forget. And one of them that's easy for us to forget is that the body matters. Our human body matters. There's a small but noisy stream of church history and people in it who say the body doesn't matter. That the only thing that matters is the soul, and anything that gets in the way of that, you shouldn't pay any attention to it. And you shouldn't pay attention to your body, because that will probably get in the way of your soul. This doesn't show up anywhere in Scripture, by the way. There's no place that we see that says your body is irrelevant to anything else. There's no sense in Scripture that there will be a time when we will be beyond bodies and we won't need them anymore. Because if Jesus came back and still had one, it seems a little odd that we wouldn't. Because what we see over and over again in Scripture, particularly in the epistles, and I'm thinking of an awful lot of Hebrews here, what we see is that Jesus is the one who goes before us. In the same way that Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets and the traditions that went before him that way, Jesus is now demonstrating what it's going to be like for us on the other side. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith, as Hebrews says. We talked about him being a pioneer in many ways. Well, he came back with a body. Our bodies matter. They're not just containers for our soul. Souls matter too, but I don't think you can separate the two. We don't know everything that's going on in Revelation. It's kind of confusing in spots. But one of the things that comes through fairly clearly is that at some point, when all of this is fixed and when everything gets reshaped at the end of time, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Well, why would we need a new earth if we didn't have bodies? And if we're going to have bodies, doesn't that mean that the bodies we have now have value? And if we go back to the other end of the Bible, when God was creating these things, he never said that now I've made bodies and animals and plants and they're convenient backdrops to the soul that is all that really matters. He didn't say that at all. Every time God created something, he said, this is good. And we were really good. And we were really good as we were, as the whole package, not just as that intangible soul. Jesus came back to Jesus rose from the dead to demonstrate that human bodies and human existence and creation itself has value. It's not just a frame for some ethereal something else. I grew up very much in that sort of Neoplatonist mindset that from a completely evangelical perspective, not from any other religious tradition, but this idea that your soul was all that mattered and that your body was just this thing that you put up with. And that's really bad. I mean, it's bad for lots of reasons because it can lead us into bad habits. We think, well, the body doesn't matter, so I don't have to exercise, I don't have to eat correctly or any of those things. But more than that, it says that my physical experience is unimportant except as it affects my soul. And the only trouble with that is I've never been just a soul. No one has. I've always been a body and a soul together. So I don't know how I can split those two apart. My physical being affects the things around me and affects the things within me as well. And I think that would have been helpful for me to know when I was younger. It's taken me a while to figure it out. All of us at some point have to realize that when you're really tired, it's not a good time to make decisions. Why? Because your body affects how you think. It affects your soul, if you will. How many of you, when you are really tired or when you're sick, have a rosy view of the world? Well, maybe you do. I don't know. I don't. When I'm sick and tired, I tend to think that, well, the whole world must be sick and tired. And it needs to be fixed and fixed soon. It affects how I think. It affects how I live my life. My body does. And that's okay. That's part of who we are. We were created to inhabit the bodies we have. Realizing that in a fallen world, that creates challenges. We have illness. We have accidents. We have chronic issues with our bodies, and they seem to increase for many of us as we get older. And when we move from this body to the next one, we're not moving from this body to no body. We're moving from this one to a perfect one. I'm kind of looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to never having to worry about a cold again. Or for those of us who've had it a few times, monitoring every cold to see if it's going to turn into pneumonia, which it doesn't do for me very often, but every time I get a really good cold, I wonder. Never have to worry about joints that ache and those sorts of things. I'm really looking forward to that, but I can't look forward to that if when this body's done, I don't get another one. We do get another body. Jesus demonstrated that when he came back, there's a physical component to that life, just as there is to this life. The physical isn't all that matters, in the sense that if we don't feel good, it means that there's something fundamentally wrong with us, because that's not the case either. It's more complex. It's more complicated than that. But if we lose sight of that, and the Western church tends to lose sight of the value of the body rather than the value of the soul, and so that's why I was thinking in this direction and why the Holy Spirit's been nudging me in this direction for the last number of years, really. I remember even having the nerve at one point in the middle of an argument to suggest that the body was simply a vehicle for the mind, if you can imagine such a ridiculous remark. Well, changing that for the body is only a vehicle for the soul doesn't make it any better. And if you live your life that way, you're going to have a sense of ruthlessness towards your own body that will almost certainly extend to the world around you. Because if you don't think your body matters, why do you think the environment would? Why do you think it makes any difference if you just don't care about, well, something as trivial as litter? Except, really, litter isn't trivial. Litter actually matters. We don't litter for all kinds of reasons, not least of which is that the creation, the world in which we live, is something we want to enjoy and we want to look at. We want it to last as long as possible, and throwing garbage in it doesn't help. There's lots of different ways that we look at the world we live in, but hardly any of us want to look at it as simply a tool. That the world just exists for our convenience. It's more than that. We're part of the created order. We're the apex of it. I'm more than willing to believe that. We're the ones that were very good. Everything else was good. But it was still good. And that's why we do what we can to reduce our impact on the created order. Because we think it's valuable. I've often wondered why Jesus came back physically. And I suspect there's a lot more that I still need to figure out about that. But when I began to realize that part of the reason he came back wasn't just to demonstrate that he had power over death, because he could have done that in other ways, I think. But I really think, and beginning to be more convinced in this thought, that one of the reasons why Jesus came back in a physical body was to help us to remember that our physical bodies also matter. That there won't be a time when we'll simply wave goodbye to physicality and never have to think about it again, that we'll somehow become absorbed into, I don't know what, some kind of group mind or something after death, or whatever those theories are out there. They just don't grab me. And they really don't seem to show up anywhere in Scripture, which makes me happy. We matter because we exist, and what exists matters. It changes the way I think about things, all the way from the creation story at the beginning of everything to what the world will look like when it's fixed, whenever that happens, however it looks. And for me, on a daily basis, as someone who didn't take care of myself when I was younger, for lots of reasons, not least of which that notion that you're indestructible, as many of us felt when we were in our teens and early 20s. I don't think that way anymore. I think that this body that I have, it's not perfect by any means, and sometimes it's kind of aggravating. It's still a gift. It has value. As does everyone else's. As does everything we see. Sometimes it's harder to value those things. I'm not really crazy about the weather we've got right now. Winter should be done, I think, by the middle of April. I still look at what we have and say, this is something that God created. Fallen, yes, one day it'll be perfected, but it's still here, and God still thinks it's good. I can't just write off my own physical experience or yours or anyone's. If a body was good enough for Jesus to come back in, it's good enough for me to take care of. And from that, it expands into all kinds of other things. But how I view human beings and human life, how I view my responsibility to people and the place in which I find myself. So I think that's why we're taking another look at resurrection. It's to remember that it's more than just something that takes care of us after we're dead. The resurrection means something for us today. That our bodily existence matters to God, and it should matter to us too. Amen.